You have your Bibles, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and hold that, and go to Philippians 4. You don't even have to turn to Philippians 4 if that's an issue at all, because we're going to bring it up on the screen like we do all of our verses. I say that because we're only going to touch Philippians 4, 8, and 9, and just for a minute, we're just going to read that and let it marinate. Let it marinate. I got some turkey in my refrigerator right now, marinating in pickle juice. We're going to see how that goes, but we're going to take two verses out of Philippians and let it just marinate for a few minutes. Then we're going to come back to it at the end, okay? Christine, that one song that we were going to do at the end, it'd be perfect for that. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? I'm going to be speaking to all of you, possibly the married men in particular, but also the women and the single women. And it'll make sense along the way. So in other words, no one's going to get left out, okay? It's like shooting the shotgun. Everybody could get sprayed. You know, a rifle, pistol bullet, that's one bullet. That's when I just preach right at you or something like that. Like some of you think I do. But the Holy Spirit is more of a throws more of a shotgun pattern, and I need him to do that. And he does that so well. It's amazing how he can hit us all with his word. Ephesians 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians, like I said, to all you that are paying close attention. I did this last week, too, Mark and John. Finally, brethren. Somebody say brethren. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is actually Paul and Timothy. In this writing right here on Saturdays, we've just started Philippians chapter 1. We did that yesterday, but I felt compelled to go here, finally, brethren. It gives us some instruction. It says, it gives us something to think about. It says, meditate or think on these things. And I've told you that word meditate is actually the same word that means to, like a cow would chew the cud, to burp it up, chew it, swallow it. It goes back to another chamber. It comes back up again. It's chewed, it's swallowed. To get every bit. God designed a cow to be that way because when he's just eating hay, there's not much nutrition in that at all. It's just fodder. It's just filler in just hay. Most of the time, a little bit of nutrient. So they continue to break it down and break it down and bring it back up. And that's the way we're supposed to do with the Word of God. We're not cows. Look at your neighbor and say, he didn't call you a cow. Just to be clear. But don't be bullheaded. How about that? So maybe I did call you a cow. Just on the backside, I guess I did call you a cow. But we take the Word of God and we in our digestion of his Word, you can't get it. Look at your neighbor telling this, because you can't get it the first time. And it'll take a lifetime to get it. So we continue to think on it and meditate. And the world has tried to steal that meditation thing. That belongs to God. The world's always taking God's things and changing it and twisting it. And political correctness tries to give you what you can and can't say. Okay, we'll go ahead and flip to 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember, we're going to come back to that at the end. Think on these things. 1 Peter chapter 3. verse 1 through 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observed your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and do not, and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, the wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. See, if we're not careful, we've already got two problematic words in there. Being submissive. And it does not say women be submissive to men. It doesn't say that. It says wives be submissive to your husband. That's what it says. Okay? And it also says the weaker vessel. We're going to talk about that. It's actually, when it's talking about the weaker vessel, the word weaker right there, actually meant strength-wise. Strength. When the Bible compares the husband and the wife, it also, we'll go to that in a minute, it talks about the difference or the emphasis that God puts on his relationship with the church. And he compares that to the husband and the wife. A matter of fact, go ahead and flip to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And 23. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. I'm sorry, 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is wonderful instruction. This is correct instruction. This has goals, and this is a help to us. And if you've ever seen a husband-wife team that honors and puts honor into the right place and into each other, you will feel like you're in the presence of the Lord being close to them, because they are actually reflecting the Lord in their relationship. And it is achievable. But the world would twist this. You know, the world hates marriage anyway. You ever wonder why? It's because just like you are made in God's image, The enemy hates you because you remind the enemy of God just in your own image. Whether you serve God or not, your image bothers the devil. And when you are married, your marriage bothers the devil. Your marriage bothers the devil because marriage is an institution of God. It's put into action by Him. And I used to think that there was something wrong and that we were missing something because the divorce rate is the same. It's one in two now. One of two marriages end in divorce. I used to think that we were failing, but the truth is, because this, one in two end in divorce whether you go to church or not. Whether you are churched or not, that's just the straight out statistic. And I believe that the answer to why that is because the enemy hates marriage. Yes, he hates Christians, but he hates people. He hates the ones who hate God. He hates them. Does that make any sense at all to you? Okay. I didn't hear any answer in that, so maybe it didn't, but it makes sense to me, so I can move along with that. Yeah, the enemy hates the ones that hate God. Satan hates everybody. So you loving God does not matter about him hating you. Thank you for that, Tiffany, because you're not on anybody's, the enemy's not on your side. And you can only be on God's side. Or you're against God. You'll find yourself against God. And the enemy hates everybody, including those that love God and those that hate God. The enemy hates the atheist. He has just succeeded in deceiving them. He still hates them. Yes. So back to chapter Philippians, where we're going to get this. Where it calls the woman the weaker vessel, okay? Where it calls her the weaker vessel. Okay, that's going to represent the woman. That's going to represent the men. So single women and all women and all men, the Bible says that he has given all of us a measure of faith. Doesn't it say that? Okay, so God has given us some faith, all right? And, you know, my using this as God is so wrong because his supply never runs out, but it's enough to fill these cups, okay? So if you're a woman and don't have a man in your life, I'm talking to you right here. God is the one who fills you. Amen. God is the one who fills you, okay? And when you have poured out all that you have, you go back to God and he fills you. Now to the man. To the married man, it is your duty to fill your wife. When she gets low, you fill her. And you wash her with the water of the Word, like Christ washes the church. And it is that washing of water is the picture of it is something that's dirty and it's just water poured over it. And then it's clean again. Okay? But so watch this. I think I'm done with this one. I'm not done with you, Lord. Okay, so When he's full and she's empty, he pours into her. Now she's full again. And this is going to happen back and forth. Can I tell you where the dangerous part is? All right. She's not in trouble long because he comes and fills her with the washing of the water of the word. There's the problem. When he's not full. Men have a unique ability to have a nothing space. My wife has asked me many times, what are you thinking of? And I'll say, nothing. And she's like, that's impossible. And I'm like, I still got nothing. And the Bible says to live with her according to knowledge. And she's always thinking. I'm not. And she's told me before, she said, I wish I could do that. She said, like almost like not believing me that I can think of nothing. I mean, I can do it right now. Like, I can. Maybe it's a talent, but do I have any other witnesses from men in here? Can you see? So you know I'm not lying. I can think of nothing. I really can. Now watch this. Watch this. Because when I think of nothing, that's actually the danger zone. Idleness. Have you ever heard the phrase? It's not in the Bible, but an idle mind is the, you've heard of it, devil's workshop. Mm-hmm. I believe that's true. I'm at a point now, things change as you get older. And when I would go to bed with my wife, I would have to have like zero noise. And I don't know what, 10, 15 years ago, you started playing white noise. Is that what it's called? Brown noise, pink noise, all those noises. Hers is customized. She's got all those colored noises into the Christine zone wavelength, and it works for her because her mind never stops. So she had to, like, transition her mind into rest through doing that. I don't know if anybody else does that, but that's a thing. I had to get used to that because she needed that. And here I am going to bed thinking of nothing, and she's introducing all this noise to me. It's like, and next thing I hear is, and I'm just like, oh my Lord, will I ever go to sleep? But I handled that. I learned how to. But now, me not thinking of anything at night, when that happens, all of a sudden, now my mind won't stop. She's asleep, and my mind won't stop unless we leave the TV on. And if you turn the TV on, I can go to sleep like that. I don't know why God made us exactly like that, but I can tell you there's a dangerous place at nighttime when nothing's going on. And that is the danger place right there. Because just like before she ever finds a man, he is the one who fills her. Now that she has a man, I don't take the place of God. That's not what I'm saying. But biblically speaking, he said just like he does with the church, the man is supposed to do with the wife, right? Now I have poured out to her. Who fills me? Or should I say, what fills me? What fills that? Because if you say nothing will fill that, something will fill it. Something fills it. And it's so dangerous. back to Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, say the second word with me, brethren. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. He gives you things to engage your mind. Why? Because your mind needs to be engaged. Not that you can't have the nothing space. I still have the nothing space. But that nothing space has to be filled with something, because something will fill that space. You have to, his pattern for you is for your mind to be engaged. Does the scripture not say that our mind needs to be renewed so that we can prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God? That's all part of a pattern. Why? Because where's the battle fought? Where's the battle waged? Where's the battle won? Where's the battle lost? It's all right there. You can tell that mine has worked hard over the years. I've lost all the battleground. There's no topsoil left in my battleground. It's not just our duty. It's our privilege, and it's an honorable thing that my wife is covered, because my mind is constantly being filled back up by him and his word. Whatever things, literally a couple times a year, there's this field over in Georgia, and I'll go to that field, and I'll camp in my truck. And I save certain things. And she gave me something the other day. She sent me something. She said, if you open that up, it was something that our daughter, she found that our daughter, Kenzie, is what the Lord had written. And she said, have you read it? I said, no, I'm saving it. I'm saving it. She said, what are you saving? I'm saving it when I'm camping in my truck. I can think about that. Look, when you've made every memory that you could make, there are things that all that's left is what's left. So those are precious. So that's part of the things that are pure. They're pure. Because if I don't obey the word, something else will try to slip in there. Right? Right. That's the enemy's plan. And the wisdom of God is that we obey his word. Plan it. That I fill up again. Listen, this is just a real simple message that my mind is important, and I need to be there to feel. And if I don't do that, who will? Something will. We have a duty. We have a privilege. It's an honor. So I'm telling you that, men, married men, Paul did say this. He said, our words have become like the Lord. Even more so if you're quoting his word. Do you ever get worn out with somebody that gives a quote, and then they like hashtag their name to it? Like, what if you saw this? If you saw me post something that said, one giant leap for man or one leap for whatever it was, and one giant leap for mankind, hashtag John Morgan. I would know, I would understand if I didn't see you come here anymore after something like that. But you have every right to use his word. So use his word. It's better than anything you can come up with anyway. It's more helpful than anything that you can come up with. Be a repeater of his word. Know the word. Look. Here's the danger. If we are supposed to wash her with the water of the word, but we don't have any word. Can I tell you that's where our culture is at right now? Some people call it feminization of the church. I don't call it that. I call it men quitting. The only way that you're going to beat me physically is for me to stop. It's just a fact. I'm a stronger vessel than you are. But if I stop, are you going to stop? I don't think you are. You're going to keep going. And some of you are continuing to go. But men, we have a duty. And if we haven't been doing it, I promise you God is better than anything you've ever seen when it comes to catching you back up again. You can think, but Pastor, that sounds good and I want to do that. I just don't know much. Open your Bible. Pick out anything and say that the next time something comes up. And say, okay, maybe it didn't go, but that's a starting place, and it's truth, and I'm going to say truth, and I'm going to learn some more, and I'm going to dig in, and the next time something comes up, we're going to go to the Word. Miss Kay said something. She said, we got time to scroll, we got time to pray. I love that. I told you the other week, I said, I got slapped across the face because I thought that phone usage came up on my screen and I saw how much I had been on my phone. And I look at dumb stuff like YouTube and Marketplace. Like, whose junk do I want to buy? But I could not believe how much time that thing said you spent. I'm like, whose phone is this? And then I look at that Bible. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, I didn't put that many hours in. So what are you going to pour out? How are you going to pour out? And you ain't put nothing in. Just going blah, blah, blah. You're worth more than that. Husbands, look at your wife and say, you're worth more than that. You're worth more than that. Amen. So how can we end this? Whatsoever things are true. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul, do these things and the God of peace will be with you. Look, if you've got Christian friends and you see them doing something that works, try it. Do it. Copy it. I just don't want my family to not have because I didn't come up with something when there's so many things available. I don't want my family to be going through something and I got nothing to give them. And I just fall back on that nothing space. Well, I got nothing. I got nothing. Put something in. Put something in. Don't fall into that danger zone. Don't fall into that. Worship team, will you come back up? I'll tell you what I'm going to think of. I'm going to think of how the Lord saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he gave me everything that I need to keep my mind actively engaged. If you pour out, you pour out. Some of you feel like you pour out all the time. Well, fill up. Fill up. Fill up. Stay full. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the instruction of your word. I cannot stand how the world has had such an influence to take what your word says and to make it look like something that we shouldn't say, or it wouldn't be politically correct. All I care about is what's correct in your kingdom, Lord. And you've given us the best instruction by your word. So the only thing that's left for us to do is to be obedient to your word. And your blessing will be right there every time we obey you. So God, I just ask you to fill our minds with things that matter. And as we pour into our family, Lord, we reach back to you. We go back to your well and let you fill us over and over and over again. And then it's just like a flow that continues from your throne that never runs out. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and sing this song with us?